And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Bucks with a decent weekend. They did lose Friday night to the Wizards, who have been playing actually better without John Wall, and the Bucks did not have Giannis. I feel like most people took a rational look at that loss. Good on you guys, Bucks fans. They did, though, what they've been doing all season on Sunday. They won after a loss, 12-0 now, in the game after a loss. They've not lost back-to-back games yet this season when they went down to Atlanta and beat the Hawks. Bucks in action again. It'll be tomorrow night. They've got the Heat. And then on Wednesday, they've got the Grizzlies on the road. And then the Magic on Saturday. Frank Madden joining us to talk some Bucks, the Lockdown Bucks podcast, the creator, the founder, emeritus of Brew Hoop. Frank, good morning. How are you, bud?
Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Doing well.
Hey, Frank, when you find out, like we did, you know, a couple of hours or an hour before the game, that Giannis is not going to play in a game, do you kind of write that game off and just say, if they win, it's just a bonus, but I don't really expect him to win tonight, no matter who they're playing?
I think it certainly changes the complexion of the game and what you're expecting to get out of it. I mean, a road game, especially against a Washington team that, I mean, as you said, they've been playing better since John Wall has been injured. You just never know, and I think what we saw there was, you know, they hit a ton of threes, right, which you can do something about, but to some extent, you know, you kind of just tip your cap when they're hitting threes the way they were. So, you know, even if you have your full lineup against a team that's just making a lot of threes, that can be difficult, especially on the road. So I think certainly to some extent, but, you know, I think it's also a good test. I mean, they've won a couple other games they've played without Giannis this year before that. And, you know, you look at a team like Toronto, who you're obviously neck and neck with in the East. I mean, I think to Toronto's credit, I mean, they've won a ton of games, even though they've been missing, you know, Kawhi's been missing basically every back-to-back, and Kyle Lowry's been dinged up for some time. So I think it's a good test of the depth of the team. I think that's been, you know, maybe something that has surprised a lot of people, just how deep the team has been this year. So I think it's a good test to see how good you can be without Giannis, because, you know, hopefully he's never injured for any type of extended period, but you also want to make sure that, you know, you're not stuck and just incapable of winning without him. So obviously good news is he was back on Sunday, and hopefully we don't see him out for any extended period.
Talking with Frank Madden with Brew Hoop, for me it's interesting because, and Lockdown Bucks podcast, founder of Brew Hoop, for me it's interesting because I think the depth is one of these things that is going to push the Bucks possibly to the finals. I think watching DJ Wilson emerge and having some guys that, you know, are on the bench that were getting minutes at the beginning of the season, they can just go to all these other options. I think that is a very strong point of this team. Yet when Giannis is out, the guys aren't maybe good enough to get a victory in most cases. And I feel like I'm waiting for one of those other guys. Like, if Giannis is out a night, shouldn't Chris Middleton step up and kind of take over a game? Shouldn't Eric Bledsoe kind of step and take over a game? Do you think these guys that play this role of the number two, whether it's Lopez or Brogdon or Middleton or Bledsoe, are they good enough to lead a team without Giannis, or are they better served as a complement to the Greek Freak?
I think in the grand scheme, they're certainly better served being complements. I think one of the questions I have, just, you know, thinking about this team, obviously we know that they're going to be really good in the regular season. Now the big question is just, what do they look like in the playoffs? I think the big question for me is just, you know, they have all these guys who, on kind of, you were alluding to it, on any given night, really any of the other starters can be a number two type guy, can give you really big production. Obviously, you hope you get multiple guys performing at a really high level every night. But in terms of, you know, if Giannis is out, all right, who are you really going to count on is really going to, you know, be really good? You know, last year Chris Middleton was really good generally when Giannis was out. I mean, I don't remember his numbers were, but he had some monster games when Giannis was out. Obviously, Chris is just kind of getting back to kind of the better form that we got used to at the beginning of the season. He had that slump in December. He's been playing a bit better. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's just generally one of the questions, you know, on any given night, and it's going to be even more important during the playoffs. You know, hopefully when you do have Giannis, you know, can you count on kind of that all-star caliber play from Middleton or Bledsoe or, you know, Lopez, right? He's a big X factor because you never know. Sometimes he's going to have a monster shooting night. Sometimes, you know, he maybe doesn't match up as well. Brogdon has been very good, very consistently of late, but, you know, not quite at that, like, you know, all-star caliber level. So I think it's a big question for them. I think probably when, you know, you ask people in the national media kind of what they're going to have most questions about going into the playoffs, it's going to be, well, the Bucks don't have that second, you know, superstar. You even kind of locked in all-star type player. We'll see if they get a second all-star. But I think that's a very valid question to kind of keep asking. And obviously, to some extent, we won't know until the playoffs probably.
It's a good question. Who's the Bucks' like number two guy after Giannis? My question is, do they need someone to truly be defined in that role? Because there's been a lot of attention towards Malcolm Brogdon lately. He's been playing very well. Brooke Lopez has been playing very well. Eric Bledsoe, a nice season. Chris Middleton, I know, can be polarizing at times. But if you have these four guys, if one of them can take that mantle and be the number two, as you look toward this team in the future, if there's not a clear guy, I mean, I'm talking, if Chris Middleton is like the clear number two, well, then he's going to get paid $30 million in the offseason. If Malcolm Brogdon is the clear number two, I mean, he could get $20 million from a team in the offseason. But if these guys kind of bounce around, and you're almost long-term, Frank, are rooting for some of these guys to maybe have cold stretches to maybe devalue how they could be on the open market. It's just a weird thing right now where the Bucks have all these guys that are free agents and could get paid, and the better they play, almost the more it's going to cost either another team to go get them or the Bucks to try to keep these guys next season.
It's a very devious way to think about it, Bart, but I totally get what you're saying. You know, oftentimes you think about it as like young guys who are going to be restricted free agents, and, you know, do you hold down their minutes so that the rest of the league can't see how good they are, things like that. Obviously, these guys are, you know, beyond that. You know, the starters obviously aren't a secret to anybody. But I think there's a huge – I think the playoffs are going to be a huge deciding factor as far as, you know, especially like the market for what these guys looks like. I mean, you know, Chris Middleton last year, incredible in that first round series against the Celtics. I mean, his shooting was lights out. I mean, if that Chris Middleton is a guy you get, you know, even for half of the you know, the playoffs or something like that, like every other night he's that hot and the other nights he's just, you know, average Chris Middleton, you'd be pretty thrilled. And I'm sure someone is going to, you know, if the Bucks don't want to pay him that kind of money, then someone else will. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, Lopez is maybe the most fascinating guy just because some matchups, you know, against teams that can go smaller, can put guys on him out and cover him out to the, you know, 30-foot line where you like shoot threes. I mean, is he even going to be a guy that you close games with in the playoffs? I think it's really interesting to see kind of how he'll be used in the playoffs. And, you know, is he going to be a key factor in every series or maybe just certain series? So I think there's a huge, you know, show me component for all these guys in the playoffs. I think, you know, Bledsoe, obviously, after the disappointing playoffs last spring, I mean, he actually had a really good second half of the season, then kind of laid that egg for most of that playoff series against the Celtics. So, you know, I think probably for all these guys, I mean, they're really in a position where, hey, things are going really well in the regular season, but to a large extent, you know, their future, the amount of money they're going to make in the offseason, it's going to be driven largely by kind of how good they look in the playoffs. And, you know, can they convince the Bucks or another team that they're a guy worth investing really big money in? Or, you know, are they a guy like, you know, they're pretty good, but we don't want to, you know, give them big bucks, especially with some of these guys getting closer to their 30th birthdays when, you know, obviously a guy like Bledsoe has some injury history. We haven't really seen it in Milwaukee, but, you know, do you want to give Eric Bledsoe a long-term contract given kind of his age, 29, and some of those, you know, shaky playoff performance we've seen last spring? Certainly, if he can change the narrative on that makes a big difference in terms of what his market will look like next summer.
Giannis played Sunday, but he didn't play Friday. But it doesn't sound like he was 100% when he played Sunday through the hip and the quad injury. Wouldn't you almost rather have him sit out a few games and get back to 100% instead of trying to push through this?
Yeah, it was interesting with the game in Atlanta because, again, the Hawks are a team that you look at, you know, you might say, well, we can maybe get away with not playing Giannis big minutes in this game. But, you know, the flip side is Giannis is just a competitor who doesn't like to miss games. Mm-hmm. So we saw last year he had that one stretch, I think it was in January, where he was held out of a few games in a row to kind of rest that knee issue he had a year ago. And so at that point, they were able to kind of convince him to do that, even though the team was obviously not doing very well at that point or not doing as well, certainly, as they are now. But different kind of pressure this year, right? I mean, they're right there with the Raptors at the top of the East, at the top of the league. So, you know, I'm sure Giannis looks at all these games and probably felt, you know, on Friday, even though he was just doing what he should do, you know, he's just so competitive. He probably feels like, oh, man, I wanted to be out there. You know, I wanted to help my team win a game that we should have. So I think there's a good argument for it. I think especially a game like Sunday against the Hawks, like, well, maybe just steal another day of rest for him, especially with a back-to-back coming on Tuesday, Wednesday against the Heat and Grizzlies. So I'm going to be really curious to see, you know, does he get held out of, for instance, maybe the back-to-back in Memphis if he hasn't kind of fully recovered. You know, a hip injury can be kind of a thing that lingers for a while, and we'll see. You know, hopefully, knock on wood, he's ready to go and can keep playing game in, game out, because obviously when you're this good, on the one hand, you can give a little bit of margin for error, but on the other side, you know, there are a lot of teams chasing the Bucks in the East, and obviously they want to keep locked into to one of those very top seeds. So I think it's definitely worth keeping an eye on. He's a tough guy. He can play through pain. We saw that this weekend. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. You got to keep the big picture in mind first and foremost.
Yeah, it's like Toronto. They won't play Kawhi Leonard back-to-back. On a Saturday night last week, they played him against the Bucks, and then the next night against Indiana, another big game, another contender in the East, they sat him, still won the game. But they sat him out of the game, and I'm okay, even if it's a chance of losing the game, which, you know, there is, even without Giannis yesterday against Atlanta, they could have got beat without Giannis. That might have been a different game. But I'm willing, you know, at this point, if Giannis just to get healed and to be healthy, even if it means a loss or two, just like the Raptors, they'll take a loss if it means just resting their guy.
Yeah, and obviously with Kawhi, there's an extra dimension there because, you know, he was basically missed most of last year with the quad injury. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been concern that could be like a degenerative type injury with a really, you know, potentially a really problematic long-term prognosis. And obviously that was the reason why the whole relationship in San Antonio kind of broke down. And so obviously there's some more politics there with Kawhi as well, right? They're trying to impress him for this summer. And, you know, again, I don't know exactly how Kawhi feels about being held out of back-to-backs, but obviously they're trying to manage that. They're kind of, you know, walking on eggshells a little bit with Kawhi. But, you know, flip side, I agree. I mean, especially if there's a risk of him re-injuring, making it worse, maybe having to miss more time down the road because it's not taken care of now. I think that's your biggest concern, right? If it's an injury, and I don't know enough about Giannis's the quad and the hip injuries. I don't know enough about those to say if that's the case with this. Obviously, if it's just the kind of thing where he's not going to really make it worse, it's just going to, you know, be bothersome, and you hope that then you get to a spot, especially later in the week. I think Wednesday, I think that's Thursday, Friday off. You know, if you're just trying to get to that, maybe that's the strategy. Or like we said, maybe you sit him out Wednesday against Memphis and there. So, yeah, I think definitely worth watching. I think you just never like to see Giannis on the injury report, even if he is playing. And so hopefully it's something that, you know, in a couple of weeks will resolve itself and he'll be good to go.
Frank Madden, Locked On Bucks. Frank, as far as the Bucks in the next couple of weeks, they do have the trade deadline that looms February 7, I believe. Where do they look to add if it's buyout market, if there is something that they can fit in salary-wise? Of course, they've already made the one key trade, getting George Hill in and some of that contract cap space out. Are you looking for them to make a move? And if you were in charge, where would you be looking?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think the good news is there's no move that they like have to make at this point. You know, I mean, they're obviously, the record speaks for itself. You know, with the exception of kind of the, I know we just talked about Giannis and his health for a bit, but overall, obviously, you're not, you know, and again, I'm going to knock on wood as I say this, but you don't look at your roster and say, well, you know, we're out this starter for 3 months, or, you know, you're missing some key piece. Obviously, if there's an injury between now and the trade deadline, then that may certainly impact the way they approach it. But for the most part, you know, I think you have to be pretty happy with obviously your starting five, and also look at your bench and feel like you've got, you know, very good depth, and you've got, you know, players who aren't playing, who have played, you know, at various points in the season, who, you know, like Pat Connaughton, for instance, right? I mean, he really kind of won himself a spot for a few weeks, shot really well, played, you know, good defense, used his athleticism, and then, you know, basically went cold and other guys stepped up, and Pat, I think, got dinged up a little bit. And then, you know, he hasn't really been back in the rotation since. So I think that, again, there's nothing they have to do. I think the probably most interesting spot just in terms of depth and, you know, does Mike Budenholzer entirely trust, you know, a certain part of his rotation? You might say the big spots. Obviously, they traded Henson away. Fun Maker has been better this year. You know, he had that great game against Utah, but then hasn't really played since then. So Obviously, I think there's a question around that. Ersan, you know, he's a Bud guy. Obviously, played for him in Atlanta. Ersan's been kind of up and down. I think Ersan is, you know, still a useful rotation guy in the regular season. You know, gets a team like Atlanta. Yeah, he looks totally fine. I think he's the kind of guy who, though, will get exposed more as you play against good teams as you kind of look forward to the playoffs. So, would be interesting to me. I mean, Ersan's also not really a center. Do you try to get a guy who can maybe be maybe still be a center, maybe even more mobile guy? You know, Dwayne Dedman, who didn't play for the Hawks on Sunday. Again, he's a guy that obviously played for Bud in Atlanta. He's going to be a free agent this summer. I don't know if you can get him in the buyout market or if you'd have to trade for him. You probably wouldn't have to give up a lot. Maybe, you know, Jason Smith and a second-round pick or something like that. Again, are you interested in doing that, giving up an asset for a guy on a rental, basically? Does it matter that much to you, especially the way the NBA is heading with centers not being all that important? That's kind of one of those philosophical questions I think the Bucks have to ask, because at this point, it's really all about your playoff rotation. And I think, again, I think as far as the regular season goes, you probably feel pretty happy. But I just don't see a big trade coming just because, again, most of their starters other than Giannis are obviously free agents. So it's, I think it'd be hard to make a move there. And obviously things are generally going pretty well, even with certain guys not having shot as well as they could. So, again, probably more or less stand pat and kind of ride this out, see how good this team can be in the playoffs. But again, maybe some tinkering around the edges, if anything.
Frank Madden, appreciate it. You can find out his work with Eric Name on that Lockdown Bucks podcast. Always good stuff. And we will talk to you down the road, Frank. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Frank Madden joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank, you can start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. So obviously, as the ceiling for the Bucks only gets higher and higher, the roof on their former home comes down. We'll talk about that coming up next, plus more Brewers this hour, and back into the Packers and their assistant coaching search in the NFL playoffs. A busy weekend. We've got you covered here, Chuck and Winkler on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman from the Bryant-Stratton College Athletic Studios. Woke up Sunday morning. Did not make it down there, but plenty of media outlets providing live coverage of the Bradley Center roof being demolished as it came down from the inside. You could see on the video some of the doors blew out, and I believe everything around the area was secure. The most Bucks thing would have been had that building caused damage then to the Pfizer Forum.
Well, that's what I was watching for, making sure nothing was blowing that way.
Because some stuff shot out the doors, yes, like onto the street.
Yes.
So they had everybody back far enough.
And some shot off in one of the streets there, you know, out the, you know, blew a hole in the side of the building. So, I mean, that's, you know, literally some explosive stuff. But I'm wondering if anything landed on top of the roof of Pfizer Forum that's up there. Any debris?
It looked to be okay from what I saw.
I guess, like, within blocks, there's, like, fiberglass.
And oh, really?
Insulation, yes. All from the roof.
Well, it's hard when you're demolishing a building that's in the middle of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take every precaution, but you never know. As I was watching that online, I eventually made my way back over to Twitter, and I saw some interesting tweets of yours that I'd like to discuss.
Sure.
This is from Chuck Freeman, at Chuck Freeman yesterday. The homemade guac was amazing today. Oh, that's a different one. Let me find.
Yeah.
Did Hannah Storm ESPN really say that the Bradley Center, home to so many great memories? Mm-hmm. What? Never has an arena produced so little. Somebody responded to you, Chuck. Without the donation of the Bradley Center, we don't have an NBA team. There are more memories than just championships, moments, games, and events or memories. If the BC doesn't exist, then those memories don't occur. And you said, I agree. But when someone says great moments at the Bradley Center, there were none.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these Dumases who say otherwise.
Is that how you spelled it?
That's how I'll say it.
Okay.
I just didn't want to
swear.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That may have misspelled.
Some of these Dumases who say otherwise are just trying to troll me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not getting into that BS today.
No, I just thought, that, you know.
Keep your Bradley Center memories away from Chuck Freeman.
No. Some of you guys are trying to troll me. Okay. Oh, God, that was the stupidest take ever. I mean, come on. If I came up to you on the street, not you, this guy, or, you know, some of these guys, if I came up and said, name me, well, you know, the Bradley Center doesn't have a lot of memories, and it doesn't. that same person would say, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. You know, there isn't a lot of stuff in there, without a doubt. And you would never call me a name to my face like that.
I've got Bradley Center memories. I had a Milwaukee Wave camp there as a kid. I got to be at the Bradley Center for the first time as a 10-year-old boy for an Admirals game. I, you know, was on the Kiss cam during the playoff series against, I believe, the Raptors. There's a lot of good Bradley Center memories, but those are my memories specific to me. And I think when people were sharing those for the last 5 years, I have a tweet here from the fan asking you for your favorite Bradley Center memory. The date was December 7th, 2014. We've been doing this for 5 years, your favorite Bradley Center memory. But people do want to share because there have been so many good memories that have happened in that building. But in terms of sports moments, I agree with you. What would the Bucks say are their best memories? Bango doing a backflip off a ladder?
You won one playoff series there. And that was against Charlotte, where you clinched at home. I think you won. I want to say one playoff, 2001. I don't think that I thought Orlando, they clinched on the road the series before that. But Charlotte, you clinched at home. But otherwise, I mean, at least in the 90s and 2000s, there might have been a series in the 80s, late 80s, they might have clinched there. But for the most part, I mean, that's such a distant memory. And that was when the Bucks were at the end of their run anyway. There hasn't been any Bucks memories, really. There's been a handful of Marquette memories.
Yeah.
Okay. But nothing really.
Wisconsin basketball played there during one run.
Dick Bennett coached his last game there.
Hockey. A lot of good hockey memories.
Sure.
Wasn't a Frozen Four
but
there
I look
at one
at
point.
It, the main tenant of that place was the Milwaukee Bucks. It was built... Yeah, to bring the NHL here, but also to keep the Milwaukee Bucks here. And the for it to keep the Milwaukee Bucks here, their main tenant, the Milwaukee Bucks, didn't produce a whole hell of a lot.
So what do you want to see there now? What do you want to see that space used for? A hotel, a park, jobs, restaurants, bars.
How about a free parking lot? So we don't have to pay $35 to park. Yeah, I don't want to be able to park on the street and walk, you know, 8 blocks when it's 23 degrees outside. How about free parking?
The Bradley Center is being destroyed.
Yes.
The roof's down, and they'll continue to do that throughout the summer.
How about a parking lot that's not going to overcharge? You want to charge a fee, that's great. Don't overcharge.
So you want to see cheap parking?
Yes.
This
never going to happen.
High in demand space.
Never going to happen.
A lot of beautiful things you could do with it.
Of course.
You just want another parking structure.
A place that's inexpensive. Well, if you're asking me, ideally, what would help me out and the fans out? Cheap parking. Like a 6-story facility with cheap parking. That's never going to happen. But ideally, yes. That'd be wonderful.
You don't want to see a beautiful, spacious green park?
You know,
with some pop-up brat stands.
But here's the deal. Okay, this outdoor, you know, they got this outdoor beer garden. Ain't nobody in there on Saturday because it was freezing cold outside. When can you use it? Maybe in October and for the playoffs, but I didn't see anybody using it on Saturday when I was coming out of the game for the Marquette game. I didn't see anybody in the beer garden or wanting to hang outside to freeze their, you know,
Dumas.
Freeze their nuts off in the cold. So, I mean, an outdoor hot dog stand for what? They have a hot dog at 15 degree temperatures? Maybe.
You know what's going to look ugly is when the Bucks are in the playoffs and they do these overhead shots of the city.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be, you'll be able to see the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee and then this big crater right next to it.
Yeah.
The TV stations when they do. Welcome back to the Bucks hosting the Pacers here on TNT. A live look at Milwaukee, and there's just some crater next to Fiserv Forum.
Unless they knock it down a time. Now, as far as the Fiserv Forum, I'm walking to the game, Marquette game on Saturday, and I'm looking at the facility. It's not, I mean, inside, wonderful. Outside, it's not the most wonderful thing to look at, the Fiserv Forum. And I'm wondering, like, in 20, 25 years, that wooden rooftop, I mean, what's that going to look like?
Roof's not finished, first of all, I'm with you.
Is it going to look like, are we going to look at that, okay, the outside part of it is an eyesore? Or is there going to be so many things around it we're not going to be able to tell?
Oh, so you think the entire structure is ugly?
Outside. The roof. I think the roof is ugly.
The roof is ugly, yes, thank you. God, thank you so much.
It is. Don't you think, don't you look at it and say, God.
Yes, it sucks.
I mean, it doesn't look from a distance. You're walking to it's like, oh, that's the place we're walking to over there. That beer barrel. Wonderful inside. And I'm glad we got the facility. I'm just telling you, the outside of it doesn't look the best.
You don't like the wood panel thing?
No. No, I don't.
How do you want it to look?
I don't know. It just doesn't look real pretty. And like I said, in 20, 25 years, hopefully we're not building a new one by then. But 20, 25 years, what's it going to look like?
20, 25 years, we'll be building a new one.
Probably.
When are we going to build a new baseball stadium? 10 years?
Well, that's coming up on 20 years old.
Yep. Chase Field was built at the same time. They want to build a new one.
Yeah. I think Miller Park, I mean, that's got some life left into it.
I agree.
But I get it. I get it. Look at Turner Field. They knocked that one down. And that was built in the mid-90s. And, Chase Field where Arizona plays, or whatever they call it these days, same thing there.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. As we were talking, people just started tweeting us their favorite Bradley Center memories. We're not doing that. We've done it.
Macho Man turning on Hulk Hogan. We used to get those.
Y'all, it was a nice building. It was here. You had a nice time.
Had
a nice memory with your kid.
Most of the time.
You watched a good game.
Most of the time you walked out with your team having a disappointing loss.
Yeah, now it's gone. Memory time is done.
No.
We are looking to the future. Memory time's over.
All right, how about this? What's your favorite memory right now in the Fiserv Forum?
What's your favorite Fiserv Forum memory? 799-1250. We are looking to the future.
Chris Middleton hitting the game-winning shot against the Bulls.
Yep. That could be yours.
Maybe it
was the Monster Truck Rally.
Maybe it was one of those concerts.
Maybe it's when they had Mike Budenholzer introduced and they didn't make him wear a hard hat and everybody else did.
Yeah. I still have my hard hat.
They gave it to you?
I didn't know where to turn it in.
You weren't supposed to take it.
What was I going to do with it?
Turn it in?
It was just, I mean, no. But you know why? Because I walked through like four blocks of mud just to get it. Going through all those trailers. It's like, what am I going to do with this thing?
You weren't supposed to take that.
Well.
Cool, though.
I don't think anybody else was. I don't think they're missing it.
It's a cool memory. It's a cool moment.
I got it. It's just, I don't know where it is. I got it somewhere.
It's Chuck and Winkler. Favorite Fiserv Forum memory, 799-1250.
Who stood out last night for the Bucks? Let's get the Chili's MVB from last night's Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show. Dial 799-1250, and you could win free food from Chili's. Chili's is back, baby. Back. This is Chuck and Winkler on the only station Bucks fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Billy was on the post-game show last night.
Billy Schmidt?
Yeah. Nobody can get the Chili's MVB. This is why.
Chuck, Bart, morning. Bart, your check's in the mail. Yeah, thanks, Andrew Luck. I was in for the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show after Bucks and Hawks, and 30 by Giannis, 24-10 by Eric Bledsoe. To no avail, is it the Chili's MVB appearing in just his fourth game as a Buck? Listen to this stat line. 3 minutes, 2 points, 2 turnovers, 2 fouls. Jason Smith, your Chili's MVB.
So, nobody won then.
So, he obviously, when he said the check is in the mail, you had a bet with him?
I took him on the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Check is in the mail.
Well, hey, there will be no Chili's in the mail since nobody won it.
Nobody
Billy,
had Jesus Smith.
We're trying to give away the Chili's.
Yeah.
We're not trying to, you know, I don't know if we were joking or not, but we got some calls for it, and we're going to listen to people. Your favorite Fiserv Forum memory.
Yeah.
As we take a look back at the 3-month history of the Fiserv Forum, you guys are welcome to chime in. 799-1250. I'll start first, Chuck. My favorite Fiserv Forum memory was the first time I ever stepped foot in the Fiserv Forum. I was there with 8 season ticket holders who got to sit in their seats for the very first time. And I got to see the beauty and majestic building that was to be. And I'll always know every time I go into the Fiserv Forum for years on out what it looked like before it was done. And I think a lot of people were able to do that. And if you weren't, I truly feel like that was a special moment for me where I got to see the forum before completion. And I'll always look back on that fondly as my favorite Fiserv Forum memory. Yours?
Mine is the first night I was there, went to the top floor, and then I went out a side door.
Yeah.
Thinking that it was going to be able to go down to the next level. Went out the door, went down a level, and it was one of those doors you couldn't get in. So I went down to the next level.
Oh, no.
Couldn't get to the second. First, couldn't get back in. The only way to get back into the arena was to go outside. So I had to go out the door. You know what I'm saying? One of those stairwells.
This is the exact thing happened to me.
And I had to go, okay. And then the next time I went there for the next night, next time the Bucks had a game, and the same thing happened. I went out this door, and I thought, okay, oh, wait, this is the same kind of door as the other side of the arena.
Wow.
Went all the way down, had to go outside, walk all the way around, and you walk into the media gate, and people are like looking at you like, boy, what are you doing outside without a jacket? Well, it's because of stupid arena. You can't, it's a great arena, but, I mean, you can't. There's a certain door you can't go in. It's an emergency exit or whatever. Keep going down, and they don't allow you back in.
God, how can I forget? Great memory, by the way. Great memory.
God.
You know, instead of talking about favorite Bradley Center memories.
So I don't use stairs anymore there.
The Fiserv Forum. There's been just so much that's happened. How could I forget? I was there for Bucks Warriors. And my brother, of course, works for the Golden State Warriors. And I was talking to his boss, the PR guy. The main guy in charge. And he said, oh, Bart, how have you been? Good to see you. I go, it's great to see you, too. He goes, come here for a second. He pulls me into the Warriors locker room. And standing there, making a meal, is Andre Iguodala.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, Andre, what's going on? He goes, oh, you're Brett's brother. I said, I am. He goes, hey, man, he's got to start dating some girls. Because currently he's single. And I said, hey, wouldn't you have a better job hooking him up than I would? And he says, I don't know if he's into black chicks.
Oh, Andre said that?
And then I walked away. And then I saw my brother a minute later. And I go, dude, I just met Andre Iguodala. And my brother said, yeah, he just told me. He thinks you're scared of black people. And that's my favorite Fiserv Forum memory.
But he told you that your brother, he didn't think your brother dated black chicks.
I'm just telling you what happened as it happened. That's my favorite Fiserv Forum memory. I've yet to share that. Let's go to Blaine and Slinger. Blaine, what's your favorite Fiserv Forum memory?
My favorite memory now is standing in line waiting to go and use the men's room.
Oh, wow. And how was that for you?
Oh, let's see. We were there Friday night for the Jeff Dunham concert, and it had to be 100, 150 deep. I don't ever remember having to wait in a line for a men's room. Now I know what the women feel like.
Sure.
What a great memory. Blaine, well, thank you.
You know what? I was not going to bring the story up, but Saturday, I almost got kicked out of the Fiserv Forum.
Oh, tell us about that memory.
We're behind the eight ball. Should I want to take a commercial break?
Well, let's get some more memories.
But I almost got kicked out for alleged abuse.
Huh.
This is an interesting story. I was not going to share this story.
I just shared my Andre Iguodala story. So.
Which I think you should have shared a long time ago.
9 o'clock. I want to hear your story at 9.
Yeah.
You almost got kicked out for alleged abuse at Fiserv Forum?
Yes.
Will you share that at 9 a.m.?
Yes. I was not going to do this initially because I was not going to make a big deal about it, but I think I'm going to now that we brought up this topic. I'm going to go out there and do it.
In the meantime, let's get some other Fiserv Forum memories.
For a Marquette game.
We'll hear about that at 9. Very excited.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sarah's in Pewaukee. Sarah, your favorite Fiserv Forum memory.
Hi, good morning. My favorite memory is listening to my husband sing the very first national anthem at the Fiserv Forum for the home opener for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, what a nice night that must have been.
It was awesome. It was great.
Well, that's awesome.
That's Ben, right?
Yep, you got it.
When is he going out to The Voice?
February 1st.
Okay, there's somebody from our area going to The Voice.
Mm-hmm, you got it.
I'm totally lost. What happened here?
Her husband sang the national anthem, and that was her favorite memory.
Her son's name is
Her husband.
Her husband's name is Ben?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is he who is he with? Is he with a choir? Is he somebody famous?
No. Well, not yet. He will be.
Okay, but he got to sing the national anthem because he's going to be on The Voice?
No, that was probably his like 6th or 7th national anthem for the Bucks.
Okay, but he just got to sing it because he's got a nice voice.
Yep.
Oh, no, yep. Very good.
But now unrelated, sort of related, he will be on The Voice in February.
Okay.
He will be. February 25th. Is when it airs.
And they'll say he's from Milwaukee?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, we'll be in touch. Sarah, good to chat with you.
Cool.
Yeah, good to chat with you guys.
How about that? Pfizer Forum memories
okay.
being created all over the place.
Do you know her?
Yeah.
Okay, seemed like you knew her.
I do.
Okay. Somebody from Bottleck?
No. Oh. I met people outside of that time in my life.
I didn't know. I'm just asking. It was somebody outside of Bottleck.
All right, 9 o'clock, we're going to share Chuck's story about why he almost got kicked out for alleged abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, poor conduct.
I am not afraid of black people. Just to stamp my Andre Iguodala story.
Now, where would he get that from?
Well, because I was like, all of a sudden I'm walking in the halls of Pfizer Forum, and the next thing I know I'm having a one-on-one conversation with Andre Iguodala, who seems to be somewhat interested in what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not prepared for it. And it took me a little off guard. And so I might have acted a little nervous.
So he thought that you saw a black guy and got nervous.
Or he was just messing around. But either way, it's the story that I tell after that night. Let's go to Brian on the south side. Brian, 799-1250, what's up? Brian.
Good morning, guys.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for taking my call. Unfortunately, I don't have any memories because I've never been there. And you guys were talking about the Bradley Center. And I always wondered why they never knocked down the arena/Mecca. Because once the Bucks left the Admirals, there really wasn't anybody there. And I understand now that UWM uses it, but, you know, I always wondered why they kept that and never knocked that down.
They do not want to knock that thing down, which I'm glad. I mean, that's my favorite arena in the state, actually.
I understand, like, the Admirals, but for a while there was no one in there. And as for the new arena, the Pfizer, I haven't been there yet. I don't know when I'm going to get there, but I was more interested in the product on the court. I didn't think the Bradley Center was that bad that it needed to be knocked down in the first place. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You know, what is funny, what's ironic about that, the Mecca, which was built in the 50s, is still there. The Bradley Center, which is 1988, is half gone. And yet they knocked down the Bradley Center and kept the arena. But I get it. But you would think, though, they would knock down the older building first.
Yeah, you would think that as soon as they moved in the Bradley Center, they would have knocked down the Mecca. I guess yeah. Brian's asking why didn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you know?
Well, they continued to play. I mean,
who played there?
UWM played there. They had the WISA State Basketball Tournament there. Okay.
I've been there for a UW Milwaukee graduation.
They've had that. Yeah. I mean, they've had a limited amount of use. Now it's getting used more than ever. With UWM and the Admirals and the Wave. But there was a time it was hardly used. And it was still standing.
Because when I would come down from Fond du Lac to Milwaukee in the 90s to come to the Bradley Center, it was for the Bucks, but it was for the Wave.
Mm-hmm.
The Wave played there and like filled out crowds. The Admirals had an attendance in the 90s of like 9,000, the best international hockey league attendance, I think it was at the time, the IHL. The best attendance in all of that league. They were bringing 9,000 people on average would go see an Admirals game at the Bradley Center.
I don't remember it being that high, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean, people would go to that thing. So they weren't. Now they both play at the Panther Arena, and Admirals still draw pretty good. The Wave, I don't think.
Well, the arena, the Mecca, the arena is different. They've redone it inside. I mean, it's a lot brighter than it used to be. It used to be dark and dingy and 11,052. Now it's not 11,000 anymore. They've You know, it's not, I think, what is it, 10,000 maybe? 9,000? It looks a little different, but still you walk the corridors and all that, and it still reminds you of the old arena from 50 years ago. Or at least 35, 40 years ago.
I mean, it was really cool when the Bucks played there last season.
Yeah, I missed that game.
That was awesome.
I still wish they'd play one exhibition game in there again. Just play the MacFun game in there.
Yeah, maybe they do. They could.
Like, you know, I just thought maybe they'd play the MacFun game there every year. Just have it as a tradition.
But the Bradley Center, that is weird. Like, the Mecca people want to hang on to, and they still use stuff there, the Panther Arena, whatever. The Bradley Center, once the Bucks left, it was done.
When the Bradley Center was built, I thought, okay, this brand new arena, the Bucks were just coming like at the tail end of their great run, and they're winning, you know, an average of 50 games a year. But you thought, going into this new arena, what's it going to be like? 17,000, 18,000 every night in this place. It's going to be awesome. And it just never turned out like we thought it was going to be. And the Bucks had a lot to do with it because the Bucks began to be terrible and didn't really regroup until recently.
I think, yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about the Bradley Center in the Pettits and what they did to keep it here, to keep the NBA here, I mean, you should remember that. But the Bradley Center was a dump.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at it. I mean, 30 years as far as basketball, and they go to this new arena, and finally they're playing championship-level basketball. Well, they haven't done anything in the postseason yet, but, you know, it appears to be playing championship-level basketball.
Sith Lord says his favorite Pfizer Forum memory was the Justin Timberlake concert. Jamie says, my favorite distant Pfizer memory was checking out the new arena the day before the main grand opening. It was nice and cool in there and not crowded. Now every time I go in, I can't move in the halls, and the heat is always blasting. That's your favorite Pfizer Forum memory.
I think, you know, I look around in the inside. I think there's a lot of space in there. I do see a lot of space. I think putting in that panoramic club is terrific. That was a brilliant idea, too.
Let's go to Ken in West Bend, 799-1250. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Ken.
Kenny.
How you doing? Hey.
You crazy son of a gun.
No, you haven't seen anything yet. Hey, speaking of crazy, the arena and the Bradley Center hosted AWA wrestling with the Crusher and all them, but the Bradley Center had wrestling. And remember when Hulk Hogan and Macho Man on a Friday night on NBC, I was at that match. We were sitting in the second row. Mm-hmm. I had a group of guys at the Bradley Center. It was outstanding. It was actually hilarious. But those are some memories from...
Ken, we're only doing Pfizer Forum memories.
Yeah, I know, but here's the deal. How can you have Pfizer Forum memories when it just opened up? What are you memory? There is no memory yet. The memories are of all the old places, like the arena that used to host the Journal Sentinel sports show every year. Remember that, Chuck?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. But I'm telling
you... These are yesterday's news. We are all about the future.
So we're getting a lot of response
there is
on today's...
No future yet. We're working on
what do you mean? We have people talking about Justin Timberlake. We've got Sarah's husband sang the national anthem there. I got accused of being afraid of an entire race of people.
Long
Chuck almost
lines.
Got beat out for assault. There's long
no, not assault.
Lines.
Not assault.
Hey, if the memory is Justin Timberlake, we're in really tough shape.
The Eagles have been there.
The Eagles have been there. There's been wrestling there. Yeah. Fleetwood Mac's been there. Jeff Dunham played to a crowd of 15,000 white people the other night.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, we've got memories all over the place at the Pfizer.
That right there, you'll get everybody worked up on that statement. Now you're going to have them all calling in against you. Anyways, it's going to have some great memories. No two ways about it. I haven't seen it yet personally, but everything I've heard is the venue is outstanding.
Well, you got to get there, and when you get there, please let us know your memories.
Just don't look at the outside of it from a distance.
It's hideous outside. But the Marquette Warriors, I love that you put that in your caption on Facebook. Something about that you were at the Marquette Warriors game over the weekend.
And
that's outstanding. There's a bar in Lake Geneva I was at recently that had the Marquette Warriors logo on their bar. It was actually pretty cool. They had all the old logos of what the teams were here in Wisconsin and what their names were.
What a great memory.
Yep.
So many good
Marquette Warriors. I'll always remember them.
Hey, we were in the Marquette Spirit Shop on Saturday morning. We were going to look. I told my family, I said, we're not buying any shirts that say Golden Eagles on it.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to talk to Michelle Bruton at 9:35 about the Packers and the coaching search, Matt LaFleur. But when we come back, we'll give you another chance to win $1,000 and find out why Chuck almost got kicked out of the Fiserv Forum on Saturday.
I hope I'm allowed back in, but I'll tell you how this it was wrong. Not on my part. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'll tell you about it.
It's Chuck and Winkler. More coming up next. You can continue to share your Fiserv Forum memories on our Facebook page.